Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick, and I am joined by David Smith.
Hello.
He's the Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute, joined by Dan Marquardt of We Love Police, a 501c3 organization that highlights the untold good of our police officers. Mr. Marquardt also leads Marquardt of Barrington Buick GMC. Dan, I think I understand why We Love Police exists, given the hardships, the dangers, and the abuse that police officers face.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's, you know, the Lord really called me to start this organization years ago. I've always had a deep love and appreciation for police, as I think, frankly, most people do. Yep. And unfortunately, that narrative doesn't get much of a platform. And years ago, we had, actually about 9 years ago, I was so frustrated with how police were being demonized and mischaracterized. And I said to my brother and business partner, we have to do something. We're going to have a special event. We actually did. We had a guest speaker at our dealership, Mike Singletary, the Chicago Bears.
Sure.
And
local hero.
We invited police officers from all around Chicagoland and their spouse. And we had a couple hundred police officers and their spouses come. It was a great event. And just be able we called it a thank you police event. And it just was a way to show our appreciation and put some wind in their sails. And the timing of that event was actually 4 days after the Dallas police assassinations, which was everyone had a heavy heart at that time. So we were able to pray for the police officers and in Dallas for all their colleagues and their families that were enduring that suffering. And frankly, all their colleagues around the country. And then Mike gave an incredibly inspirational speech, and a lot of officers left just with wind in their sails, and it was so uplifting. I had several officers actually tell me they were ready to hang up their hat, that event gave them the fuel they needed to keep fighting the good fight. And so fast forward years later, I said, this is a great event. We've got to do this again. And, you know, with the busyness of life, that it didn't happen until several years later. But in 2021, we became a 501c3 and started working. And now we're launching nationwide and excited about what God's going to do.
You started in 2021. This is a year after the so-called Summer of Love.
Yes. Yes.
So did that kind of embolden you to say, we've got to get something up and running?
Yes, it really did. I really, frankly, years back, when I said I feel like God called me to do this, that's truly what happened. I was on my way to work one day, and I had this image, thinking about something else and all the stuff, praying about my day, and had this image of We Love Police in my head. This name, We Love Police, came into my head. And I visualized this platform with chaplain access and everything, and I could not get this out of my head for days. And I prayed about it. I ran it by a handful of friends, and they're like, hey, that's a great idea. So I'm like, maybe this is something God's calling me to do. And so I started working on it. Realized how much time it took. And, you know, being a father of 10 kids and a bit small business owner and a lot of other organizations I'm involved with, only so much bandwidth. So it went on the shelf. And frankly, fast forward to 2021, I was very convicted. And I just said, you know, Lord, if you called me to start this, I don't want to be like Jonah. I don't want to run the other way. I want to be obedient, and you'll provide the resources and in the time, but I just want to be faithful. And really that was...
You went to Nineveh.
Yes, yes. And so that's when we structured everything, became a 501c3, and have been refining and growing and establishing everything from our media platform to all of our other programs as well. So, yeah, that's a little bit of the background.
So you use the word chaplain. Is the chaplaincy part of this ministry central to what you're doing here?
It absolutely is.
So explain to us and the listeners of how that works out.
We have a platform on our media site that enables police officers and their spouses, because they're unfortunately oftentimes the unsupported ones.
Yeah.
They shoulder a heavy burden and don't often have resources, and I can talk about that a little later too, about our market research that we did. We wanted to provide a real practical resource for police officers and their spouses to speak with a chaplain, and if they even couldn't get the words out, to instant message a chaplain, even email a chaplain.
Text,
or
email.
If they wanted to even schedule a video call with modern technology, integrating every form of modern communication, schedule a video chat with a chaplain 24 hours a day, 7 days a week across the country. So we provide that resource for police officers and their spouses through our website and via mobile device or PC.
And they would come to the chaplains to discuss some of the things that are burdening them, some of the things that they're maybe they're dealing with, like maybe a horrible crime scene that they had to be exposed to, something like that.
Yeah, well, and unfortunately, let me paint a even broader picture.
Sure.
Police officers, they deal with the worst of humanity, and they see the worst of the worst so that we do not have to.
Sure.
And so if you think about, a lot of people think of those situations when they think of police, but every suicide, police officers are the first on the call to witness it, witness the grief of the family, witness the horrors. Every auto fatality, police officers are usually first on the scene before paramedics, before firefighters arrive. Every fatality, you can go through every list of trauma that they endure.
I can think of child abuse.
Absolutely. Every domestic dispute, every neglected child, every horror that you can put into a situation, not to mention the stresses of, yes, life-threatening situations, whether it's a traffic stop, whether it's serving a warrant, whether it's taking someone into custody, whatever those situations is, there's such an emotional and physical and mental toll that police officers have to deal with day in and day out. They need to be able to talk that through.
Yeah.
They need the resources versus and a healthy coping mechanism to deal with that, to process that, and to be able to receive prayer and support and encouragement.
And a chaplain would be able to, now we're talking about Christian chaplains, right?
Yes, correct.
Who would be able to point them to Christ, give them good biblical counseling, and also keep it confidential.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. So we wanted to provide this resource because, unfortunately, we know there's, from our market research, there's a big deficiency. So when we surveyed officers, we found that our data showed roughly one-third of the 850,000 officers across America do not have access to a police department chaplain. Talking to other police administrators, chiefs, and also people that have served on International Association of Chiefs of Police as past presidents have said they think it's probably closer to only 50% of departments have a chaplain.
50%.
And unfortunately, of those, we'll just say roughly one-third of officers that don't have a chaplain. So two-thirds do. Of the two-thirds that do, 66% of them have low or no trust of their department chaplain for a lot of reasons.
And why?
And, well, a lot of it was there's not relationship there. There's not trust that when they see their chaplain, they're in talking with their shift commander or their police chief, and then they come out and the chief says, hey, why don't you do a ride-along with this person today? And so there's some guardedness, some skepticism. They're not necessarily going to open up. Others, there were a variety of reasons. Unfortunately, some chaplains don't necessarily always have a full support of the police.
Do they think of them as spies?
There is definitely some concern of that. Police inherently and justifiably so, are some of the most skeptical, guarded people on
untrustworthy.
The planet.
They're lied to all the time,
they
aren't
are
they, Dan?
Constantly. Constantly. And so if they're going to open up and share burdens and hardships that they're dealing with,
sure.
There's got to be a relationship and there's got to be trust. And that's one reason we wanted to offer this through a mobile platform, because they can use an alias. They don't need to provide their real name. It's not like they have to have a badge number. It's total anonymity, completely confidential. And it's on their own terms. If it's 2 a.m. in the morning while they're on shift, they can call.
So they can trust an outside source, not an internal chaplain, right?
Correct.
But an outside source who wants to, who's only there to provide encouragement and support and counsel.
Absolutely. And then and the need is tremendous. In fact, I hit on that a little earlier, the spouses.
Yeah,
and what
yeah.
they shoulder. So we already established the vast majority of officers don't have a trusted relationship with their department chaplain. Yeah. But of those that do, 97% said their spouse and family had never been ministered to by their department chaplain. 97%.
Wow.
And so that's basically zero.
So, Dan, you're saying that the church is missing an opportunity here far and wide. And I want to talk about, we want to talk about how churches can incorporate this or adopt this program, right?
Absolutely.
And make it their own in their own community. And I think it's brilliant. But I want to go back to what you just said twice there, relationship. We all should have, especially the body of Christ, the local body, should have a good relationship with the cops in their area, with all their, I would say, legislators. Yeah. I would say, you know, firemen, policemen, all public servants, but especially the policemen, as you just highlighted, who are doing some of the toughest jobs known to man.
Absolutely. And you know, let's just look at the greatest example of all, the King of Kings. The creator, sustainer of the universe said he came to serve and not be served. So if Jesus himself said he came to serve, how can the church not show love and support and honor to our police officers that serve and protect our communities across America? And they do so selflessly.
Amen.
You know, as I painted to a couple examples earlier, I mean, they see the worst of the worst, and they have a lot to process, and they should know that their local church is a safe place, yep. that their churches love them, appreciate them, and are a trusted resource whenever they need them.
Well, how can a church get involved?
We launched a pilot program 2 years ago called Church Partners. We love police church partners. Did trial and error through this pilot. What works? What doesn't? How do we tweak it? How do we enhance it? And gave our churches the general parameters, and then we refined it, and now we're launching this program nationwide. So it's a very turnkey program that any church, whether they're a church of 30 people or they're a church of 30,000 people, can administer. And we made this so that it doesn't have to be another added responsibility on the pastor's plate.
I was going to ask you.
It is, although some pastors love it. In fact, one of our first church partners that signed up, the pastor said, you know, Dan, I love this program because when I was wrestling with my vocation, I was either going to be a police officer or I was going to be a pastor. And so he says, I've always had a heart for police, and I'd love to be able to minister to police.
There's a guy that loves the law.
Fantastic. Exactly. Exactly. For sure. So the reality is that Church Partners, first off, it's very turnkey, very easy to administer, and very affordable. It's about $20 a month. And we provide everything from the training guide to a congregational introduction video, and then all the resources that come along with that. And for example, so I mentioned our market research. One of the things we really studied was what are some of the most tangible ways that police officers feel uplifted?
Yeah.
That was very interesting because first off, in-person expressions of gratitude were number one, where someone goes up and says,
Thank you for giving me that speeding ticket.
Yeah, right, exactly. Those ones are number one.
I've done that after getting a speeding ticket. I'd say, hey, thank you for your service. I mean, I have. I've done that. Now it's been like 10 years since I've had a speeding ticket. But,
well, that's a good thing,
yes,
David.
Right.
So, but really, when someone just comes up and randomly says, thank you for what you do every day. They shake their hand
yes.
and say, we pray for you. We just want to let you know how much we appreciate what you do each and every day. In fact, speaking to the power of that, I had coffee with a pastor, one of our church partners, and he was reading a book. And I said, what are you reading? And he said, oh, I was over at the police department. And one of the officers came up to me, a little guarded and skeptical, and he says, you want to understand us, you got to read this book. And he's like, okay. And he took a picture of it. He said, I'll order it right now on Amazon. And he's like, ordered. And he goes, okay. And then he said the officer walked away. And he was in the midst of reading it about halfway through. The book's called Bulletproof Spirit by Captain Dan Willis. And so I said, well, I'll do the same thing. So I took a picture of it, ordered it, read it. It was very powerful, very heavy lifting. But it gives you a really insight into what police deal with each and every day. And some really helpful guidelines for police. But all that to be said, I was so moved by the book. At the end of it, it said, the author, Captain Dan Willis, says, if any of you officers ever need support or want to talk, I make myself available. Here's my personal email. So I emailed him. I said, I'm not an officer, but this is what we're doing, and I'd love to talk with you. So he called me the next day. We talked for 2 hours. And I love what he had to say, because he says, you know, Dan, I have my pulse on everything police. My book is required reading at the FBI Academy, and I've trained tens of thousands of officers all around the world. And he said, no one's doing what We Love Police is doing, and I love it. And he said, and then he shared with me about in-person expressions of gratitude and the power of them. And he said, when he was an officer, about 10 years into his 32-year career, a woman waved in La Mesa, California, waved him down. He was waiting for some obscene gesture or vulgarities to come out of her mouth, like he said he heard frequently. And she said, officer, I just want to say thank you for what you do every day. Our family loves you, appreciates you and your colleagues, what you do every day. We know you have a hard job. We pray for you, and I just want you to know how much we appreciate you. And he said he was so taken back by that this young woman took the time to express that gratitude.
Amen.
Every day he put his uniform on for the next 20 years, he thought of that. Every day he put his uniform on. So in-person expressions of gratitude were very powerful. But the other number two was actually, shockingly, because people don't do them very often anymore, handwritten thank you cards. Because partly because they're rare. But what is powerful about a handwritten thank you card, there's personable emotion and expression in a handwritten thank you. But it also, it's tangible, and then it also has staying power. So because it's rare and it's visual, they oftentimes will get put on a bulletin board, a community board, in a roll call room or a community area at a police department. And so they don't get thrown away. And a high frequency of officers actually get to see them and read them. And so that was tangible. And officers said they obviously appreciate free meals.
Sure.
So that was another tangible one.
So don't cook a meal, but rather you had a suggestion that we talked about earlier.
Absolutely. The prepaid meal cards are a huge benefit. And actually churches, if most churches aren't aware, and we put this in our program training guide, that if churches literally go into a Sam's Club, a Costco, a Meijer, a variety of different retailers, grocery stores.
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A for sure. And say, hey, we're from ABC Local Church. We've partnered with a national nonprofit, We Love Police, to care for and express gratitude and uplift our local police officers and their families. How would you be willing to support us?
Yeah.
And oftentimes they'll donate a $100 or $200 gift card. They'll just hand it over. And you can provide that to your local departments as, you know, for a barbecue at the department, for a catering package. And you mentioned Chick-fil-A. They're fantastic partners, and they're free chicken sandwiches. They'll give you a stack of those. They'll do free catering packages, but it just starts with the church is asking. So all that to be said, in the Church Partners Program, we incorporated handwritten thank yous that we encourage congregations. And if the church has a school as well, that's a fantastic way to draw in the youth and encourage kids to express gratitude for their officers as well. So seasonally, we don't want to just do this one and done, forget it for the rest of the year. We want it consistent.
Absolutely.
And so 4 times a year, seasonally, we encourage churches, our church partners, to collect thank you cards. But it all starts, all of that starts. So, and then obviously collect gift cards, prepaid meal cards to provide when they deliver those thank you cards 4 times a year to their police department. But then a commitment to pray. set up prayer teams, small groups to add it to their prayer list, pray for their officers and their families. But all of this starts with relationship. So we provide where churches say, we don't even know where to start. We even have scripts, what to do.
Absolutely.
How to make the phone call.
Yep.
How to get a meeting with your local police chief, police administration, sheriff's office administration, to sit down and start a conversation and start to establish a relationship.
So every member of the church can do that, right?
Yes.
All these things.
Yep.
Well, let's take a break and then come back and talk about who can do the chaplaincy part of this work.
Okay.
And then flesh out some other things too.
Excellent.
Where can they get a hold of more information on this?
WeLovePolice.org.
Oh, that's that simple. WeLovePolice.org.
Yep.
All right.
That's the starting point. All right. Dan Marquardt of WeLovePolice.org. We'll continue our conversation right after this.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Christopher Caldwell explains how DEI destroyed itself. He wonders why more Americans haven't risen up in rebellion against the Trump administration's assault on affirmative action. The reason is simple. The American people have seen what happens when civil rights concepts are pushed to the extreme. They didn't like how the idea of diversity, equity, and inclusion were used against them and the country. In his book, On the Age of Entitlement, Christopher Caldwell documents how the civil rights movement had significant unintended consequences. One was the establishment of an explicit system of racial preferences. Americans may not have liked the fact that certain races were given preferences over others, but chose not to challenge many of those excesses except in an occasional court case. Then came the summer of 2020. While Americans were locked in their houses during COVID, race-conscious youth engaged over the death of George Floyd in police custody set several U.S. cities on fire. He adds that Americans got a taste of living in the Soviet Union. Your life could be destroyed, your career derailed, if your support for George Floyd was less than total. Even celebrities were not immune. New Orleans Saint quarterback Drew Brees had to apologize for his support of the American flag. OSU football coach Mike Gundry apologized for wearing a T-shirt with the name of a conservative television network on it. Then President Biden took office promising to make DEI hardline. The stage was set for Trump to come into office and issue executive orders against DEI, affirmative action, and other such policies. Politicians and bureaucrats pushed these policies too far, and DEI destroyed itself. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free booklet on a biblical view of patriot preachers, go to viewpoints.info/patriotpreachers. Viewpoints.info/patriotpreachers.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Lurick here along with David Smith.
I'm still here.
He's still the executive director of the Illinois Family Institute. And we're joined by Dan Marquardt of We Love Police. That's welovepolice.org. It's a 501c3 organization that is here for police. And Mr. Marquardt also leads Marquardt of Barrington Buick GMC.
He also is on the board for the National Marriage Project, formerly known as Abstinence and Marriage Project, with Scott Phelps, who does an amazing job promoting marriage and family in waiting for sexual contact until after marriage and after graduation. So, you know, anyway. So, Dan, you know, before we took the break, we talked about chaplaincy. We touched on it, at least. I wanted to know who can do the chaplaincy part of this work, because this is direct counseling and listening and all this ministering to police officers who probably have a burden they want to share. This is establishing relationships, ministering to the police officers. I assume giving the gospel message to these officers. Who wouldn't want born-again Christian officers or those who have been encouraged and uplifted by the Word of God serving in our communities? It could only make them better police officers.
Absolutely.
Am I wrong?
Well, and give them hope. Give them support. Give them love. Give them prayer. All the things that we all need.
And joy.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So who can do the chaplaincy part of this work?
Obviously, apart from the police officers and the chaplain access, because we provide that even to our church partners, we have what are called, I mentioned a lot about the in-person expressions of gratitude. and what how meaningful that is for officers. Based upon our market research and also what we compiled, we created these uplift cards that are intended for in-person expressions of gratitude to hand to an officer. Those are best administered by one of our program coordinators from our church partners, because these are individuals from their local community that are building relationship with their officers. And when they're aside with someone they know by name, they can say, you know what, I want to give you something. And they can give them one of these uplift cards and just say, always remember that not just we as your church, as in your church community, as members of your community, we love and appreciate you. But be reminded that your efforts are not in vain. Amen. We appreciate everything you do each and every day, and you do make a difference. And by the way, keep this in your badge wallet, because on the backside, number one is a reminder that we do appreciate you and you do make a difference every day. Your job is hard, and frankly, it's probably the hardest on the planet.
Right.
Whenever you need support, even if you can't get a hold of me, even if you can't get a hold of anyone at the church, you can do this in total confidence. You can contact the chaplain 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, via phone, on your own terms, whenever you need. So we want to put that chaplain access from the Wheel of Police portal in their hands. But when you're talking about the local church as well, so that's just reinforcing that access. But I'll give you an example. One of our pastors. So for the church partners, as I mentioned, we don't want to just add another list of duties for another, he's the congregational care pastor, put it on his plate, or whatever other ads they want. But a church partner program coordinator can be an elder, a deacon, a lay leader in the church. They can be a parent of a police officer that has a heart of gratitude for police. They can be a retired police officer. They can be, it's very, very simple to be an ambassador for the church. What we do recommend, if the church chooses not to have someone on pastoral staff to be the primary program coordinator, we encourage when they at least make department visits that someone from the pastoral staff goes with. Because it's important the pastors and the officers know who pastor is.
Sure.
And that the pastor knows who the officers are. Again, building relationship. But that's where it all starts, with relationship. So anyone can administer the program. But one great story, one of the pastors from our partner churches, he got permission from his elder board to spend 4 hours a week at the police department, one of the local police departments. So he got support from the administration. He's like, I just want to make myself available. Anyone wants to talk, support, whatever they need. So he was there 8 weeks, and no one talked. They all walked by. They didn't even acknowledge him. And then one week, an officer comes up, and he says, man, what is your deal? Why are you here every week? And he says, I'm here for you guys. He goes, what do you mean? And he says, I'm a pastor of a local church right down the street. You guys have one of the hardest jobs on the planet. And we just want to tell you guys that we love you. We're here to support you. Anytime you want to talk about anything, you, any of your coworkers, I'm going to be here every week, and I'll always be available for you. And he says, huh. He didn't really know what to make, but he was.
Yeah, right.
So he walked away. He said the next week he got like 8 or 9 head nods, which was progress. They acknowledged him.
The word was spreading.
And then the following week, so now this is almost 3 months in, 10 weeks in, then finally on the week 10, officers came up and just said, hey. So they started having conversation with him. And they heard about, and he's like, well, what do we need to talk about? We can talk about anything. We can talk about life. We can talk about sports. We can talk about cars. We can talk about something on the job, marriage, whatever you want. I'm here just to talk, just to dialogue. They're like, okay. So they started talking. And they find out they both ride motorcycles.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, you ride a bike? Yeah. And he says, oh, we have a lot of officers that ride here as well. So he's like, I'd love to go riding with you sometime. They're like, hey, you'll go riding with us? And I'm like, of course. So they invited him. I'm like, hey, why don't you go? So he actually went riding with the officers. Well, anyhow, fast forward a few months later, he got officers that were saying, hey, can I get your cell phone? I want to talk to you about some stuff. I want to call you. Just building trust, building relationship, and then ministry doors open to be able to provide support needed. That department also, unfortunately, had an officer that passed away, and they called him, the chaplain. They actually started calling him chaplain. they called him and said, would you be willing to do the funeral? And he goes, well, I got to talk to his widow. And like, no, we've already told her we're going to handle everything for him. He didn't have a local church. So this is, and he's like, oh, I'd be happy to. I knew him, and so he was able to give the funeral. We give churches a lot of liberty because when those relationships start to be established, not just with the administration but with the officers, they can go and say, hey, how can we help? Where do you need help? How can we help as a church? And one of the great stories I loved was when they said, you know what? Ugh, we've got Shop with a Cop, and we work with Toys for Tots, and garner all these gifts to give away to underprivileged kids in the community. But we got to gift wrap all these things. So the officers have to take time off their shift.
It's a nightmare.
Or after their shift to go and wrap presents. Right, you know, it's right. Not like number one on the priority list.
God made gift bags for a reason.
Yeah. So, but what he said is, can we get a group of volunteers to come in and wrap all the gifts for you? And I'm like, that would be amazing. Yeah. So they had like six small groups come in, gift wrapped in one evening. They wrapped all the presents. Every officer, when they came in to check into the department for their shift, they all saw all these wrapped gifts. And they're like, hey, who wrapped all the gifts? Oh, it was our church partner from this local church. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So it was a tangible way. I mean, how much effort did that take? But it was a very tangible way to show support.
Well, you know, Dan, you're talking about relationships, but, you know, you can't cash relationship checks unless you've made the investments, have you?
Correct.
Right? And that's something my kids say even. You know, if you don't have the invested time in rebuilding a relationship, you can't cash those checks. And that, obviously, a chaplain needs to build a rapport and a respect among these guys who are highly guarded, right? And suspicious,
right?
Because they're lied to all the time, you know. So, yeah, that's, oh man.
Do you run into situations where pastors are reluctant to get involved? It's just too divisive to be supportive of police.
I sadly have had that conversation, and it's really a hard one for me to stomach. Because the Lord called us to love our neighbor and
our enemies.
Absolutely, and our enemies. How controversial is it to express love and support for people men and women who sacrificially serve and protect our communities?
Put their lives on the line sometimes.
They do.
Yep.
And they put their lives on the line in more ways than one, a lot of different situations. And they should know that their local church, of all places, is a safe place where they can go for encouragement, for prayer, for support whenever they need it. And so, yeah, and even from our name as an organization, We Love Police, that's about as non-controversial, at least from someone who's common sense and reasoned,
right,
especially someone who wants to be an ambassador for Christ and live out the gospel in their life.
But do you get pushback from those folks with a defund police mindset?
Yes, unfortunately we have. And so we actually have, in as an organization, we found it really important from day one. So we don't want to get in the weeds. We are going to just, from a media standpoint, we spotlight only positive and uplifting stories. And that is honoring. It's honorable. It's God honoring to spotlight good. We only spotlight the good, which frankly is 99% of what happens out there every day that doesn't get told. But the other aspect is uplifting police. And as I already mentioned, they carry a heavy burden. And we're here to help uplift them. And and we can't, as an organization, can't do this alone. We want to make this a grassroots organization where local churches, what better entity to be the hands and feet of Christ, to serve those who serve our communities than the local church? And so we want to engage and equip local churches to uplift their local police. And it's that simple. And really, organizationally, our goal is by the end of 2025, we prayerfully will have 1,000 churches uplifting at least 1,000 departments and sheriff's offices across the country. But our 5-year goal is by 2030 that all 18,000 police departments and sheriff's offices across America are uplifted by at least one local church.
That's a big goal. That's a big goal. We need to light a fire, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So it started here in Illinois,
yes,
in the northwest suburbs.
Yep.
In Big Blue, Illinois.
You're correct.
Yep. And so we've got lots of different departments here in Illinois that we can start doing. So people need to go visit your website, welovepolice.org. Contact you or whoever at your organization?
Yes, they can actually click right on Church Partners. There's a big tile on there. Click on Church Partners, find out more. They can apply right on there. It's very simple. It's nominal cost, whether it's, as I mentioned, a congregation of 30 people or 30,000 people.
Right.
It's about $20 a month per rooftop for a cost. We annualize it. It's $249 a year. And we provide all of the resources. We also have an online church directory. And this is interesting, too, because I've had, and sadly, even just in the last few months, I've had several officers and even officers and spouses tell me they were sitting in church, say, a few years ago, if you know what I mean, three-ish years ago. Unfortunately, they heard condescension and broad brush statements about that demonized police from their pulpit.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were so wounded
that
this is a church that they were tithing to, they were supporting, that they considered their safe place, their home, and they left. And sadly, many of them have not been back to church since because they don't know if this is a church that's going to bash them or not, or if they're really appreciated or loved. And they said, we love that you guys are going to have a church directory because there's no resource out there where we can find, how sad is this?
Oh, man.
A church network that loves and appreciates us where we can feel safe to go and worship.
Wow.
So every one of our church partners will get listed in our church directory. And really, we'd love to fill that up.
So a lot of our listeners probably have family members or extended family members who are police officers serving in some way. You have merch on your website.
We do.
That might be a blessing. I hoodie here.
Yes.
I've got some car decals. Do you sell cups? Like
we don't
coffee
sell,
mugs?
We don't sell cups. We have the transfer stickers for rear windows of vehicles. Those are very popular.
Donuts.
No donuts.
Shirts, hoodies, hats, common movers. But the whole goal of it, and even when
but
we
But this
design,
all supports the mission.
It does. And it's in and but it there's a message in that. And that's what we wanted from day one, is that every time a police officer, the spouse of an officer, the mom, fill in the blank, relation, the child of a police officer, drives up behind a civilian vehicle that has a We Love Police sticker on it, or they're at a sporting event and someone's wearing a We Love Police hat or a shirt or a hoodie, that they're like, wow, that's cool. That's cool. And it just puts wind in their sails. And we want to uplift these officers to let them know that the vast majority of Americans do truly love and appreciate them. And it is so essential we get the local churches across America to be engaged, to open the door, to establish relationship and express that love and support for their local police, because we desperately need it. We need to keep the officers that are currently serving and protecting our communities, not take an early retirement, to stay on as long as they can and retire when they're supposed to, because there is a hiring crisis
that doesn't
bode well for America's future.
No, and the ultimate goal, of course, is that these officers get to know the gospel message and the price that Jesus paid for our salvation.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And redemption. Redemption and salvation.
Well, that'll make our communities a little better.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. This is only a plus, plus, plus.
All right, it's welovepolice.org, and if people are interested, get on that website. Can they make a phone call maybe? What?
Donations?
Absolutely. They can make a donation. We are a 501c3, so all your donations are tax deductible. Sign up for our newsletter. We just launched our social media campaign nationwide. We're on Twitter/X, Facebook, Truth Social, and LinkedIn. So if you want to search those platforms, follow us, like us.
Or X I should say.
Share the word. Just express that you do love and appreciate your police officers. And when you do see a police officer, let them know that they truly are loved and appreciated.
Well, here's my commitment as executive director of IFI. We're going to help you spread the word on this. We would like to see 1,000 churches in Illinois.
That would be awesome.
Partner with you. And then whatever overflow from that, and I'll see if we can make connections with you other places. But this is very, I think, key to the mission of the church and the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. That includes in our backyard with
Absolutely.
Our police officers.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, thank you, David, and thank you, Monty. Appreciate you having
thank
me.
Thank you, Dan. What a wealth of information. You sell cars. Let me, big U-turn here. Is this a good time to buy a car, especially with these tariffs and what have you?
Yeah, what's it your is. Thoughts on the tariff situation?
It is. You know what? Long overdue. My late father, who was a Korean War vet and loved this nation, he was as much of a free market capitalist as anyone, as am I. There's free market and then there's fair market.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, and President Trump has beat this drum, and I think anyone that looks at it objectively, representatives, congressmen, senators on both sides over the last 20 years have beat this drum for a long time, talking about how we don't have fair trade.
We've had a lot of talk, but not a lot of action.
And that's the realization. Yeah. And a lot of, in the auto industry, it is not uncommon that a lot of nations have 100 to 200% tariffs on American automobiles, but yet they can come here tariff-free.
Sure.
So it's really just standing our ground and saying, hey, you can have access to our market as long as we have access to your market. It's reciprocity. It's only fair. And what's fair, it's not fair for someone to tax 100% of our product and we tax zero. So if they want to take down those barriers, let's have a level playing field. And I think every consumer would benefit from it. And certainly all of the American companies will, because if these global markets truly open to our goods and services and products, that's going to be a big boom for everyone. So, but to your point, is it a good time to buy? Absolutely. Do I think realistically in the next 90 days, most countries are going to come to the table and negotiate with something that is beneficial for all of Americans? I do. I think it's going to be short-lived, but I think it's long overdue.
Yeah. Good.
All right. You
good
heard
question,
it here.
Ronnie.
Dan Marquardt of WeLovePolice.org, and also Dan leads Marquardt of Barrington Buick GMC. There you go.
And you got new and used, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, all right. Dave, we've got a big banquet coming up.
Oh, yeah. We we have secured Riley Gaines as our keynote speaker, and we expect it to go swimmingly. Oh, I know, right?
Dave said that, folks.
That's right. November 7th, we're going to be in Homer Glen at DeNofel's Banquets. Tickets are going to be on sale. I think they're on the website right now for $125 a ticket, and tables of 10 are cheaper. But we'd love you to support what we're doing at IFI. And
we promise to serve chicken.
And okay. Maybe some duck.
Yo.
No. All right. Some waterfowl. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, you just go on our website, IllinoisFamily.org, click events, all the information about Riley Gaines and the IFI banquet November 7th, 2025. All right. And keep up to date about what's happening in our legislature. You can do that by going online here at IllinoisFamily.org.
And keep praying about House Bill 2827 and Senate Bill 9, both the Homeschool Registration Act and the Assisted Suicide Bill.
I call it pro-suicide.
Pro-suicide Bill. Both of them are stalled. Thank you, Lord. May they continue to be stalled.
All right. Well, do support the work at Illinois Family Institute. You can go to our website once again, click donate and do that. And tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight and also Dan Marquardt and WeLovePolice.org. Okay, take care. God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.